Well, I want to preach to you this morning a thematic sermon for our coming year. And the title of the message here today is Giving God Your Yes. Let's do something unusual today. Let's stand to our feet and we're going to read God's Word together. Now, this scripture will not be on the screen, but you can turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll read one verse together. And then I won't have you to turn to any other verses throughout the rest of the message because I'm going to be all over the Bible and I'll be going so fast you won't be able to keep up. But in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, let's read together. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, Here I am, send me. Dear Lord, we pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. During his days as president, Thomas Jefferson and a group of his companions were traveling across the country on horseback when they came upon a flooded river which had washed away a bridge. Each rider was then forced to ford the river, fighting against the deadly currents as they went. One traveler who was not part of the group was watching from a distance. And after seeing several of the presidential posse cross the river safely, the stranger wandered up to the president and tapped his boot and said, Sir, can I have a ride across the river? Well, President Jefferson agreed with no hesitation, and so the man climbed on the back of Jefferson's horse, and the two of them crossed the river to the other side. As the stranger then slid off the back of the horse onto dry ground, one fella in the presidential posse looked at him with what you might call incredulity, and he said, Why on earth, sir, would you trouble the president for a ride across the river? Why didn't you ask one of us instead? And the humble man was shocked. He said, Well, honestly, I had no idea that he was the president. But all I know is that was written upon some of your faces was the word no, but written upon his face was the word yes, and I needed a yes if I was going to make it back home tonight. Yes, no. Two words that have the power to create two different worlds. Yes gives permission to what might be possible. No automatically closes the door and decides the future in advance. Yes is how a lifetime of loving marriage begins. Yes is how change is initiated. Yes is how we start our walk with the Lord, and it is how opportunities are seized. No, that's how things stay the same. No, that is how risk is mitigated. And no, that's how dreams stay small. I love what John Maxwell wrote about this. He said, quote, one of my all-time favorite words is only three letters long. It's a simple word to learn, but a difficult word to master because it has the power to create life as well as diminish it. I love the word yes because of the possibilities it contains. Yes is permission. Yes is potential. Yes is momentum and excitement and the gateway to growth. The key is saying yes to things that are good and godly. The people who did the most for God started by saying yes to His plans over theirs. And in the spiritual realm, yes is the language of faith, while no is the utterance of unbelief. What a paragraph. Now, as we look back over our lives, we all have things that we regret that we said yes to that we should have said no to. And we also have regret when we look at things that we said no to that we should have said yes to. At midnight, we're going to embark upon another year. And everybody begins to set their New Year's resolutions. But friends, if nothing ever changes, then nothing ever changes. It's just the rolling over of another calendar. January 1st is just another day, unless you decide to begin that year with this word, yes. What if we made 2024 the year of saying yes to God? And so in the message here today, I want to preach on that theme. If you're looking for a resolution, if you're looking for a way to live in 2024, then make this your motto, just two words, and it could change your life. It's this: yes, Lord, that's it. Yes, Lord, to whatever you've asked me to do. Yes, Lord, to however you are speaking to me right now. Before God asks, Lord, my answer is already yes, Lord. What miracles might you experience? What challenges might we overcome? In today's message, I want to preach on that very thought of giving God your yes. Let's start off, number one, by talking about the people who said yes to God. We read about one of them already, the prince of prophets, Isaiah. But what makes the men and women of the Bible so instructive and inspiring is not because they were the most gifted or because they were voted most likely to succeed by their classmates and peers. It's not because they were the richest or the most powerful. What made the women and men of the Bible different from their generation is because they were people who said yes to what God wanted to have them do. Let me give you some examples. When God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, look at how Abraham responded. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, just like Isaiah, here I am. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, what? Here I am. In other words, yes, Lord. Standing at the crossroads of her life, we read about Ruth. She faced a critical decision. She could either go back home to Moab, or she could go with Naomi and trust her God and start a new life. And her beautiful yes comes as an oath of loyalty. Ruth chapter 1. But Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for where you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge, and your people shall be my people. Watch this. And your God, my God. In other words, she said, yes, Lord. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything that death parts you from me. Abraham said yes to God. Ruth said yes to God. We read about Isaiah, the prince of prophets, in that glorious vision of God's heavenly temple. Whom shall we send? God asked, and in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, he answered, here I am, send me. Maybe you're looking for another example. Then consider the shining example of radical surrender in Mary. As she learned that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, her reply to God was recorded there in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Her, yes, Lord, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Then, when Peter and Andrew are approached by Jesus to become his disciples, they were asked, hey, by Jesus, leave your nets and come and follow me. And look at how they responded. As they walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Here's their yes. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Then there's Ananias. He's an interesting yes man that we read of. He ministered to Paul in his blindness in the aftermath of that powerful Damascus Road conversion. Not only did Ananias restore Paul's sight, but he got to baptize Paul, and it all began with a yes. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, what? Here I am, Lord, just like Abraham, just like Isaiah. And so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, for there is one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. What was it that made them special? It wasn't their careers. It wasn't their fortunes. It wasn't their intelligence. Abraham was an old man with a lying problem. Ruth was a widow. Mary was a peasant girl. The disciples were just fishermen. These were ordinary people that God called from unremarkable places. And the common denominator between all of them is that when it came down to decision time, they said, yes, Lord. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't have a spotless record. But what they did have to offer the Lord was yes. I was reading this past week about America's entry into World War II. And you know, there were many men who were drafted into the service soon after war was declared, after that attack by Japan. But there was one group of men who volunteered for a new and experimental program in the U.S. Army, the 104th Airborne Division. These men, called the Band of Brothers, were the first paratroopers dropped in behind enemy lines. They said yes. Listen to what historian Stephen Ambrose wrote about them in his book, Band of Brothers. He explained there were two profound personal reasons why these men said yes to a difficult and deadly mission. First, each man wanted to be the best, and they wanted to have their mettle tested. I guess when you're 21, 22 years old, you've got something to prove, don't you? Second, they knew they were going into combat, and they did not want to go with poorly trained, poorly motivated draftees on either side of them. And so when the shooting started, they wanted to look up to their buddy, not down to them. Make sense? Captain Richard Winters, who led the men of Easy Company in the 101st, told the story that before he left for basic training, his uncle said to him, hey, Dick, when you get over there and you're fighting Germans, don't do something stupid. And Captain Winters replied, stupid? Look who you're talking to. I'm one of the morons who volunteered to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. But think about these men. The greatest generation, as they are called. They said yes to an incredibly dangerous mission, and they were just farm boys. They were factory workers. But they played a small role in changing the world. And friend, you and I owe them a debt of gratitude that we could possibly never repay. And likewise, we have a calling from an even higher authority, from the commander in chief, to get involved in the combat for souls, this cosmic conflict. And friend, our victory is assured. The Bible says, I'm already an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And the stakes couldn't be higher this morning. It's eternity. It's heaven or hell. It's, am I getting on board with God's program, or am I saying no and going about my own piddly little dreams? You see, friend, God calls ordinary people from unremarkable places to do unexpected things, to be part of His extraordinary plans. And I know this illustration may go over the heads of some of our younger generations, but if God called collect, would you accept the charges today? See, He's calling each and every one of you to a ministry, to a service, to a way of life. And you are sitting at a crossroads here today, whether you can give your yes or whether you can give your no. That's the people that said yes to God. I want to talk to you secondly this morning about the prerequisite for saying yes to God. We've already seen some examples. Nothing special necessarily about any of those. But there's one thing you do have to have in order to give God your yes. Before you can say yes to God, there has to be one condition that you meet, and it's this: full surrender. In other words, you have to be ready to do the will of God before you have the light to the next step. You have to give God your yes before He gives you all the details ahead of time. In other words, I would wager that this is the crux of the whole matter right here. Where you decide what your yes or what your no is going to be is determined by this element of surrender. And by the way, surrender was the secret of Jesus' life. It's the thing that made Him unique, was His complete surrender to the Father's will. Notice with me, I want to show you some scriptures. The signature theme of surrender and how it played through the life of Jesus. John 6 and verse 38, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, notice what He said. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but what, church? To do the will of Him who sent me. That's surrender. That's the prerequisite for saying yes. Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50, Jesus answered the question of who belonged to His family. Somebody asked Jesus, who are your family? Notice what the Bible says. And He stretched out His hand toward His disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. In other words, whoever is surrendered and said yes. Luke 22, verse 42, we can never forget this. The scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the shadow of the cross loomed large over the life of Jesus, He prayed, sweating great drops of blood, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, let's say it, not my will, but Yours be done. In other words, yes, God. Yes, Father. And aren't you glad that He said yes to the cross today? Last one, Luke 9, verse 23. This is Jesus' call to discipleship. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, we say no to ourselves and we take up the cross daily. We say yes to Christ and follow me. Friends, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Surrender is a dirty word, preacher. Don't you know that? Because it means, in our lives, waving the white flag of surrender and admitting defeat. And yes, that's true. That's the whole point of surrender. As counterintuitive as it sounds, surrender is actually the way to victory in the spiritual realm. In other words, it's one of Jesus' kingdom paradoxes where He flips what the expectation is. And in the Christian life, the way to victory is through defeat. The way to going higher is by bending the knee first and going low. You see, in order for us to say yes to God, we first have to say no to ourselves and no to the ways of this world. I was reading this week about Watchman Nee. He was a great Christian pastor and he's a prolific writer. And he died in the 70s, but he lived in China. And in one of his books, he tells a story of watching a man nearly drown in a river. And as he watched, man was struggling to stay above water. He was barely keeping his head above the water, and he was taking in gulp after gulp, and he was going down fast. And he said, as he watched this man drown, there was an older sage, an older gentleman standing by, just watching this man go under. And Watchman Nee said that he began to panic. Why isn't that old man doing anything? Why doesn't he help out? Well, after the drowning man went under for what looked like would be the last time, the sage finally jumped in and pulled the man to safety and the shore. Well, after it was over, Watchman Nee said that he went up to the old man and he asked, he was kind of indignant. He said, hey, why did you watch that man nearly drown to death before you decided to jump in and do anything? And here's what the old wise man said. He said, a drowning man cannot be saved until he has utterly exhausted himself and can no longer fight against the hand who's trying to rescue him. Friend, that's the essence of surrender in the Christian life. God waits until you are completely and almost fully under gasping with your last breath before he reaches out and grabs you. Why? Because if there's any ounce of strength, any ounce of self-will, any ounce of yourself left, you're going to fight the one who's trying to rescue you. You see, surrender happens when we come to an end of ourselves, and that's the beginning of where God begins working in our lives. In a peculiar way, surrender is the act of winning by losing. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, quote, "Fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms." Some of you have been running. You've been fighting like Jacob, wrestling with God. You've been standing contrary to His will. You've been resisting. And today you have the opportunity to finally say yes. You say, "Why should I do that, preacher? Why should I surrender?" Well, let me just give you three easy reasons. Number one, God loves you more than you can imagine. God loves you and always has your best interest in mind. So it makes sense to surrender to the one who never leads you the wrong way. You should also surrender because God knows all things. God knows what's better for you than you know what's better for you. And so you should surrender to the one who has all knowledge. And then number three, you should surrender because God has all power. And friend, if you don't surrender in humility, one day you will surrender in humiliation. You make the choice. But you should surrender because God loves you, God knows all things, and God has all power to bring His plan to fruition in your life. That's why you should surrender today. That's the prerequisite for saying yes to God. Those are the people who said yes to God. Now, number three, I want you to see this here today. The problems that keeping us from saying yes to God. So if surrender is such a simple thing, by the way, I said simple, not easy. There's a difference. If it's such a simple thing, why don't we do it? Why are we so stubborn against giving God our yes? Well, as I mentioned earlier, surrender is that battleground where our yes is won or lost. It's true. God won't make us surrender. You've heard the saying, Jesus is a gentleman, right? He doesn't barge his way in unwelcomed into a life. He's given us each a free will, and He will never violate that. But here's the reason why. Surrender goes against every stubborn and sinful tendency we have. And here's the inconvenient truth. In the end, everyone ultimately surrenders to something. You say, "I'm not surrendering to God. I'm not admitting weakness. I'm not going with His plan." But my friend, you will eventually surrender to something or someone. You'll either surrender to a small plan, a selfish plan, a sinful outcome. You will eventually surrender to an idol, and you won't like the result. So Christians who don't give God their yes will never grow. Christians who don't give God their yes will never experience blessing. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about people that are saved. They know they're born again. They know they've been washed in the blood. But yet they don't say yes to the other things that God has asked them to do. My friend, if you're in that position today, you'll never grow. You'll never experience joy. You'll never have the blessing of walking closely with the Lord today. And yes, we've had some people who've repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus Christ. But every time the opportunity comes to say yes, to go deeper, to go further with the Lord, they always have a reason to say no. And so what do? They sit and soak and sour on a church pew for their entire life, and they never go anywhere with the Lord, and they never do anything except complain. Now, generally speaking, why or what reasons do we ultimately fall back on to say no? Now, here's the meat of the message. This is where I'm going to step on some toes, okay? So, you get one more opportunity to get mad at me this year. Here you go. What are the problems that keep us from surrender? Number one is this: fear. We don't say yes to God because we are afraid of the unknown. If I say yes to God, maybe He's going to send me to Mongolia and I'm going to live in a mud hut and I'm going to be miserable. Am I preaching to anybody here today? God is a cosmic killjoy. If I surrender to His plan for my life, the fun's over with. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to turn out to be some old spinster lady. I'm going to be poor, and I don't want that. And so we're afraid of being a failure. What if I say yes to God, and then it doesn't work out, or I fall on my face, and then everybody's going to point their finger and say, I knew you would fall on your face. Or we can invent phobias. We're just afraid. Afraid to say yes to God because we don't know what that might mean, and we like to be in control of things. That's what it comes down to. Next reason why some of us don't say yes to God is because of unbelief. Listen to me. We simply don't trust God. That's why some people never give, because they don't believe the promise of God that He will take care of them. That's why some people don't serve, because they truly don't believe there is blessing in washing feet. They don't believe the Word of God. They're like the Israelites in the wilderness who didn't believe that God could deliver them from the giants that lay across the Jordan River, even though He had just crippled Egypt in their wake. And they never entered the promised land because of unbelief. And some of us don't ever surrender to God because we think that our way is better than His way. And that's unbelief. The next reason why we don't say yes to God is because of control. Do we have any control freaks in the house today? Don't raise your hand and don't nudge the person beside you. It's like that famous poem, Invictus. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Some of us want our hell insurance, and that's about it. We want to control everything else. Like Jacob fighting with God beside the river. Like Jacob duping his dad and swindling his brother out of the inheritance. Trying to control everything. By the way, his mama was like that too. Some of us don't say yes to God because we're control freaks. Next reason why some of us don't say yes to God is because change. And I'm not talking about the quarters and dimes in your pocket. I'm talking about, let's face it, surrendering to God is difficult because we have to change how we think. We have to change our behaviors. We have to change our priorities. And in some cases, changes are drastic in our home, in our marriage, in our finances, in our lifestyle, and we don't want to change even for God. And I know I've met some church people, you couldn't move them with a stick of dynamite underneath them. They wouldn't change for nothing. And so in the Christian life, here's your choice: change or die. Churches that don't change, die. I'm not talking about changing the Word. I'm not talking about changing the gospel. I'm not talking about changing the Word of God. I'm talking about changing the methods, not the message. And the last reason that we don't say yes to God is because of sin. Our hearts are naturally bent towards selfishness and what we want to do. I've been pastoring long enough to know this. I can shed tears. I can put out pleas. I can ask nicely. We need volunteers. We need giving. We need help in the nursery, in the kitchen. We need help in discipleship. We need help. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. And at the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do. As a pastor, I am powerless, save for the work of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word of God. I can't make you want to serve God more. I can't put the fire in your belly to want to evangelize the lost. I can't make you love the Word of God more than the television or the phone or whatever is distracting you. I can't make you, man, stand up and be the spiritual leader in your household. I can preach it. I can teach it. But I can't make you want it. The reason why some of us don't say yes, because we don't have the want to. And friend, if you don't have the want to, you need to get your want to fixed. And it happens right down here. Now that's not popular. But that's the truth here today. Now, each one of us, listen to me, we could pinpoint something from that list that is keeping us from our unconditional yes. We've all got some area in our life. I had to deal with it this week. Some area in our life where God is putting His finger on it and says, you have not said yes to me in this regard. Why? Well, we're afraid of where God's pathway might lead. And so we say, Lord, ministry is not for me. I'm just going to stay in my safe career where I know it's safe and comfortable. Some of us don't trust God, and so we don't give and we don't tithe. And so we never see God do any miracles in our life. It's difficult to change and to let go. And so God has asked us to forgive, but we said, Lord, this bitterness defines me, and if I let it go, I don't know who I'll be anymore. So we don't forgive and we hang on to bitterness and we don't change. And when it's time to serve in the church, we can always come up with a ready excuse why we can't do it. And so our answer remains no rather than yes. We've tried quitting that addiction, that liquor, that drug, that pornography. We've tried quitting in our own strength and power, and every time we run back to it, and so therefore, because we fail, we just throw up our hands and say, forget about it, I'm always going to be weak, and we give up. So, what does this come down to? You say, preacher, I know what I need to surrender to. You've made your point very clear, but how do I start? Let me tell you how it started for me. My yes to God didn't start maybe the way that you think it would. My yes to God started with my Sunday school teacher being sick. I was in a young adult Sunday school class, and my teacher, Brother Tim Heatherly, he was going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks with surgery. And he came to me, and he said, Derek, I'm going to be sidelined for the next month. I need somebody in this class who will teach. And I said, are you talking to me? You ain't talking to me. He said, will you please fill in with me? I said, I gave him every excuse. I'm not eloquent. I've never taught a lesson before. I don't know where to begin. I was kicking out all the stops of telling him why I couldn't do that. He said, just trust me. So I said yes. And I probably taught the worst and shortest Sunday school lesson you've ever heard. I mean, in 5 minutes, I had taught them everything I knew about the Bible. All right, let's go. Let's go to the house, y'all. That's all I got. But I said yes to God. 5 minute Sunday school lesson. The next week, it was 10. The next week, I kind of got the hang of it, and I was flying pretty high, 30 minutes, but everybody was like some of you are today. Still got the eggnog hangover from Christmas. My yes to God started by volunteering for just a short period of time to fill in for my Sunday school teacher. And look at where that yes to God led me today. You see, I said yes to God in a small thing. And then the youth pastor came and said, hey, I heard that you've been teaching Sunday school. Why don't you do a lesson for our youth? Why don't you accompany them on a trip? And then I began to sit in the pew, and God began to work in my heart. And I watched the preacher, and I listened to the preacher, and I said, you know what? I think God's calling me to something. I think God might want me to do that one day. It's not my desire, not what I went to school for, not maybe what my plans were, but God began to reveal something, and God began to show me something. As I said yes, it got easier to take another step and say yes again, until eventually God started to open doors wide open, and I just kept walking through it. And friend, I'm telling you, that's the exciting thing about saying yes to God. Because when you say yes, it starts a toppling domino effect in your life. And as you continue to say yes, God continues to open up doors. And He leads you from small and humble beginnings to a place that you never thought you'd be in your life. The question isn't why should I say yes, it's why shouldn't I say yes to God. And oh, by the way, I'm not done yet. By the way, because somebody said yes to God, you had a place to come on Wednesday night to get you something good to eat. Because somebody said yes to God. You got to enjoy some good worship music this morning. Because somebody said yes to God, you're saved and born again here today. Because somebody said yes to God, you had a Sunday school class to go to be discipled. Because somebody said yes to God, there's heat in this church today. There's lights in this church today. Because somebody said yes to God, your eternity's different today. You're a kingdom of the Father going to heaven because somebody said, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Your life's different today. And God wants to do what He did in your life through somebody else that said yes. He wants to do that with your life. If you'll just say yes, He'll use you and lead you in a path maybe you wouldn't have chose, but when you get some hindsight, you're going to look back over and say, praise God, I said yes to that plan. Because I would have been over here in Timbuktu. But God had a way. Amen? Number four is this, and I'm done. Number four is this, the potential of saying yes to God. The potential to saying yes to God. Yes and no represent two choices, two paths, two lifestyles. The way of surrender or the way of self. Each path comes with its result. Think about this. You say no to God, you get nothing. Like Monopoly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Y'all need to play some more board games in your life. Come on now. You say no to God, nothing changes. You say no to God, I'm quote unquote playing it safe. No, you're not. You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. You say no to God, you don't ever grow. And you don't ever experience the joy of Christian living. And by the way, let me remind you that the theme song in hell that's playing over the radio speakers in hell, I did it my way. But what happens when you say yes? When you say yes, you open up the door of potential to an adventure with God. Abraham said yes and became the father of a nation. Ruth said yes, and she went from being widowed to being married to having a baby to being in the messianic line. Peter and Andrew said yes, and they changed the world. Jesus said yes, and He brought salvation to all those who would believe. My friend, there's a wonderful promise in Psalm 37 as I finish today of the potential of saying yes to God. Look what the Bible says, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights. That means you're happy. There's joy in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. When you say yes to God, there will be risk. There will be adversity. There will be suffering. There will be stumbling. There will be unknowns. But look at the promises. My steps will be ordered by the Lord. He's going to take care of me. I get the joy of knowing that I'm walking with Jesus. Even though I fall, even though I fail, I'm not going to be cast down. I'm going to be encouraged. God's going to lift me up. God's going to guide me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to protect me. So when you say yes to God, you begin to enter into this wonderful partnership with the Lord where you can all of a sudden begin to do more than you could ever do in your own self, because now you've signed on to His power, His promises, and His plan. That's the potential of saying yes to God. Somebody use this analogy. Think of your life as a $100 bill. Most of us think that the moment we say yes to God, we hand over the whole sum. Here you go, God. Instead, we ought to imagine our lives as 10,000 pennies, which is equal to $100. Each day, God asks for us to hand over the penny of control. And we have the choice to keep that penny or hand it over. But with each daily death, each yes, Lord, we surrender more and more of ourselves to God every day. Here's the key, my friend. Decision determines destiny right now. Based on your choice today of yes or no, the result of tomorrow will either be, listen, reward or regret. No one ever regretted a decision to say yes to God. And if you say yes to God today, then tomorrow you'll see the result. But if you say no to God today, then the only thing you'll have waiting on you tomorrow is regret looking back over what you should have done. I don't know who first told this story, but it speaks to me. Happened in a country church just like this. Bus driver was going around the trailer parks looking for kids to pick up and bring to church. One little boy was picked up, brought to church. Little boy loved it. He was so welcome in that church. The people embraced him. They loved him. Never felt that at home. Mom and daddy weren't home much anyway. So going to church meant for him he got something good to eat. And he got loved on. Little boy went to church for a couple months and he began to become curious about giving his life to Jesus. But he asked the bus driver before he dropped him off one day. He said, "Bus driver," he said, "I'm curious." He said, "What is it about in that part of the service when they pick up these offering plates and they pass them things around?" Bus driver said, "Well, that's called the offering." He said, "That's for money." He said, "We got to keep the lights on and we got to pay the bills at church, and people give so that the doors stay open." Little boy nodded his head. Made sense. Well, a week went by. Bus driver went, picked him up, brought him to church that Sunday. Holy Spirit moved. As the offering plates went by, that little boy stopped the usher. Came out of his pew. He said, "Usher, can I borrow that offering plate?" Usher was a little bit fearful, didn't really know, but he handed it over. Little boy took that offering plate and he put it on the ground. And then, "I won't do it because I'll crush it," but his feet were small enough. He stood in that offering plate. By now, everybody in the church began to take notice. Usher turned to that little boy. He said, "Young man, what did you do that for?" He said, "I'm poor and I don't have any money to give God. So I thought the best thing I could offer him was myself. So I stood in the offering plate." That's a young man who understood, "Yes, Lord. Whatever it costs me, wherever it might lead, my answer in 2024 already is yes, Lord." What's your answer going to be? "Yes, Lord, I'll serve. Yes, Lord, I'll give. Yes, Lord, I'll start praying and reading my Bible. Yes, Lord, I'll start taking my role as the leader in my household seriously. Yes, Lord, I'm going to obey you in that thing I have been putting off. Yes, Lord." As our musicians come today, maybe some of you need to make your yes, Lord, public.